Amen. All right. And I have the privilege this morning of introducing to you our fantastic youth pastor, Pastor Steve Gullickson.
Thank you. Good morning, church. I'm so thankful that I get this opportunity to share with you today what God's been putting on my heart. Before I do that, I just want to share a little bit of background about myself. I don't know if you know, but I have two siblings, a sister that's actually sitting right there, Keani. She didn't know I was going to do this. And a brother, Nick, who is, he's actually a youth pastor at another church. Growing up, I don't know about you, but my experience with siblings was all out war. I got a brush tomahawk to my face when I was in about third grade by my sister. She just chucked that thing at my face, gave me a black eye on picture day. I know, give me some sympathy. To be honest, I was being a little booger to her, if that's an okay word to use this morning. I was not being nice. I was picking on her, telling her, hurry up, you already look good enough. Are you going to look any better? She remembers it much different than me, of course. But not only was there conflict and war with her, there was conflict and war with my brother. All throughout our life, we were competing with each other. We were always trying to one-up each other, see who's better at any video game, any sport. I'm the older sibling, and so naturally I was better, right? But he grew up to hold his own. When we became a little older, as he was in high school and I had just finished up my high school year, I was a young adult, we got into ping pong. We got a ping pong table, it was in the garage, and we were playing a lot. And I was better than him until he found the secret weapon. One day we were playing in the garage with Pastor Greg's son, Eric. Many of you know him. And he was sitting off to the side watching this game go on. It was getting intense. I was just destroying him at first. But then my brother pulled out the secret weapon. He started to use his words to attack instead of the paddle. He started to make fun of me and call out certain things. He knew the weak spot. See, inside there was this conflict in me, this insecurity that went on to not ever rise to the standard that I expected. I never felt I was good enough. And so he used that like a little sharp razor. Now, not only did he do that, he included his good friend Eric to join in. They started to banter back and forth, and I'd start to mess up, and then I'd hear a laugh or a giggle, and it would just heat me up more, and I would start to get more and more angry. And they would continue this process until finally this thing inside of me broke. I took the paddle, and I chucked it at my brother, straight to his face, except for it flew and hit Eric in the face. Yeah, not my finest moment. I feel like I could share that story since Pastor Greg's not here today. Almost safe. But see, that external conflict came out of an internal conflict in myself. Today we're going to be talking about peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We've been spending the past several weeks learning about the pathway to wholeness through the Beatitudes. And today we're going to talk about peace. On the pathway to wholeness, you're filled with perfect peace. Being filled with perfect peace allows you to live in peace with others as a child of God. Let me pray real quick. Father God, I thank you so much for your perfect peace. You are peace. Every situation that you are in, there is peace available in the room. God, whether it's internally in us or it's externally among us, God, I pray that you would just bring your peace right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers because they have the DNA of God. Peace is in God's nature. When we're peacemakers, we're recognized as God's children. Many of you know that young man that was playing drums up there, Ethan. Well, if you don't know, he is the son of Pastor Sean and Melissa. And let me tell you about my friends, Pastor Sean and Melissa. They have such servants' hearts. If you know them, you know their kindness, their compassion, their generosity. They're always welcoming others. They're inviting them in or out to lunch. they are just constantly looking for ways to care for people. Now, their son, Ethan, Caitlin is this as well, but I picked it on Ethan today. Sorry, Caitlin, you're amazing too. I'm having to follow you, so. But their son, Ethan, walks around and he displays these characteristics. He has a servant's heart. He watches and he sees where there's a need and he fills it right away. If you watch on any given Sunday, he's out there helping carry stuff around. He's following people to see if they need something. He's welcoming people into groups. He's a giver. He's an inviter. And even if you don't know him, but you know his parents, you could watch him walk around doing those things and go, oh yeah, that kid's a bender. See, God's nature is peace. It's who he is. His children have peace and they make peace. When people see true peace in our lives and with others, we're known as God's children, right? In Matthew, it talks about shining our light so that they may see our Father or praise our Father in heaven, that they see our good deeds and they praise him. Now, this brings up a challenge. You cannot make what you don't have. You cannot make, bring, or give peace if you don't have peace. So our question today is, do I have peace? If you want to be a peacemaker, you first need to have peace in your own life. So what is peace? Well, peace is not avoidance. It's not always agreeing. It's not being nice. Peace is not tolerance. Peace is not determined by external circumstances. And peace is not silence. Peace is radical. It's crazy to think about what real peace is. Peace is freedom. Peace is wholeness. Peace is reconciliation. It's sacrificial. It's unity, but not uniformity. In peace, we're free from worry. We're free from anxiety. We're free from conflict and division. Peace is wholeness instead of separation and brokenness. Ultimately, Jesus is peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." See, it doesn't say that Jesus made peace. It says he is peace. He is peace. His nature is peace. Everything about him is true, perfect peace. You know, I don't know if you remember, I was young when I saw this, but there was an old bumper sticker that would say, "No Jesus, N-O, no peace, N-O." And then next to it, "No Jesus, K-N-O-W, and no peace." See, peace comes from keeping your eyes on Jesus. There is no possible way to have true peace. Now, true peace is the real word. You could have manufactured peace, but true peace only comes from Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." Do you have conflict going on in your life? Do you have fear, anxiety? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the one that has peace. He is that peace in your life. Spend time with him. Listen to him. Now see, his spirit is in us, and that makes peace possible. In John chapter 14, verse 27, he says this, Jesus, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus brings us perfect peace through his spirit dwelling in us. See, perfect peace, not manufactured, not temporary, not something that's circumstantial based on how things are going in your life. And by the way, that's not actually peace. If everything is going great in your life and you have peace, that's cool. That's not really the test of peace, right? It's when the storm hits, where are you at? Do you have trust? Do you have no fear? Are you standing strong in Christ? That is true peace. Now see, Jesus was talking about this passage of, or this statement of peacemaking. Peacemaking was such a radical concept when Jesus spoke to his followers. See, the Jews had lived out generations over generations of rule of different nations. The Egyptians ruled them. Then Babylonians ruled them. The Romans ruled them. And they were tired of it and ready for the Messiah to come and fight and put them in their right place. Instead, what did Jesus do? He said, you want to be known as a child of God? Make peace. Make peace. Like, go as far as turning the other cheek when someone bops you in the face. Go the extra mile with your enemy who says, hey, come on, carry my stuff. Let's go. Roman, giving the equipment to the Jew. Let's go. Okay, I'll keep going with you. Love your enemy. That is radical thinking. The Jews were not thinking, okay, Jesus, you're here and you want us to go love everyone? No, they wanted their turn. They wanted it to be justice for them. The only way this radical concept is able to be lived out is by being at perfect peace with Christ. See, knowing your value from others, your comfort, your status, your treatment, it does not define you. Jesus does. Let Jesus bring perfect peace into your heart and your mind and overflow it into your life. So what is a peacemaker? What is a peacemaker? What does it look like? Peacemakers are peace bringers. See, true peacemakers, they're peace bringers. They don't need to make peace because they bring it wherever they go, because Jesus is that perfect peace inside of them. His spirit is dwelling inside of us. So you don't need to manufacture some kind of fake peace. You don't have to just put a smile on just to try and make friends in the moment. No, you walk in your true identity as a child of God, full of peace, showing what that looks like. We carry his spirit with us wherever we go. A peacemaker creates opportunity to reconcile. God's heart's always to reconcile. From the beginning, he created an opportunity to have reconciliation with his people. While we were still his enemies, he sent Jesus to die for us. He gave us opportunity while we identified ourselves isolated and separated from God. Our job is not to reconcile hearts, though. Only the Spirit can do that. Our job is to create a clear path. And we do that by living out of peace. See, we bring Jesus into situations, and he's the peace. We just need to be overflowing with that peace of Jesus. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let peace have control in your heart. Let it rule over you. That's such a hard thing to do, though, right? Because we're full of all of these challenges of our life and what we want to be and how we want to be perceived by people and how we need to be more than people. There's this internal conflict inside of us. But when we let peace have control of our heart, it goes to how you think, how you act, and how you love. See, when we're full of the peace, it overflows out of us. It's not something we have to work hard to do. It's just, it's flowing out of you. Whatever is in you will flow out of you. If you are filled with peace, you will overflow peace into others. If you have conflict in your spirit, though, you will pour out conflict. So what creates conflict? What creates conflict in our lives? What steals our peace? James chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. See, everything that externally is going on in this world starts internally inside of us. That battle and that issue with ping pong was not a battle and an issue of my brother and his friend Eric. It was an issue inside of me. If I'm at peace, it doesn't matter what they say. So what steals our peace? Fear, insecurity, anger, lust, doubt, jealousy, lies that we believe about ourselves or about others, which then goes to bitterness and resentment, false perspective. We start to see them in that way. Someone could walk in, and just because you have a lie in your head, you start to see them as a villain. Have you ever watched a movie where you see someone and they start out as the villain, and then you start to realize from their own perspective of life, you go, oh, wait, they were just mistreated. So you start to sympathize because you start to take your mind off of how much you don't like them, and you start to see their perspective. See, what steals peace? It's a bunch of garbage. It's the garbage in our head that's just overflowing. And if it's overflowing in here and in here, it's going to overflow out there. We're walking around in just a landfill of hate, fear, anger, insecurity. And it's just gross. So what are some signs that my peace might be being hijacked? Well, competitiveness. If you're competitive, not talking about like sports outside, it's great, you know, to compete with one another in that way and have fun, but competitiveness to the point where you will do anything to win. You look at people in a certain way and you think, oh, I'm either better than you or I'm not as good as you. The comparison game, because there's not enough. You need to get yours. You need to make sure that you're taken care of. Because I'm not better, or maybe I'm not as bad as them, and I'm going to start to make sure they know it, right? When you start to compare, you walk into a room, and you want to make sure someone knows right away. I remember one time I was with a bunch of the youth kids, and there was a youth leader, and he was teaching a handshake thing. You ever hear the handshake system of how you can show whether you're the dominant person or the submissive person? It's all about when you handshake, if you flip your hand over like that, or you kind of are weak-handed. You want to walk in and let someone know that you're better than them, you handshake and you turn your hand over. That's what I heard. Yeah, crazy, right? I don't know if that's true and all everywhere, or if he was just talking to the youth kids about it, but that concept happens, right? We walk in and we immediately go, okay, what am I better at? What can I showboat and tell people? Look at how I am, right? We do that just in talking about our work. We do that in talking about, you know, the money we make or the vacations that we've been on. And then on the flip end, when we hear someone that does better, it shoots us down because we're so insecure. Another sign that my peace might be hijacked is complaining. Complaining because my situation is not fair, because I don't get what I deserve. That's been my issue most of my life. If I could be real honest with you guys, just doing some truth telling, I struggle with complaining because I struggle with comparison and because I struggle with this insecurity of not feeling like I'm enough. And a lot of my life, I've struggled with complaining about my situation, looking at how it's not fair, my circumstances, the home that I do live in or don't live in, or my car situation, or whatever it is, I complain about it. And it's a vomit out all over everything. And not only that, it starts to create this hostility inside of me. I don't want to get to know that person because look at how they are. Look at how blessed they are. It's not fair. And so I just shut them down right away. I have that closed fist mentality. I'm either gripping real tight to care for my stuff and hold on to it, or I'm ready to fight them for it. Another sign of peace being hijacked is controlling. Are you controlling? Because I'm not safe, because God can't take care of me. And if God can't take care of me, I'm going to make sure that I handle my business. I'm going to control every situation. When I walk into the room, you're not going to put me in my place. I'm going to do it first. Is your peace being hijacked today? So what are the ways to peacemaking? The thing that I think of first is be reconciled to God. See, you cannot make, bring, or give what you don't have. So if you are in a place of unrest spiritually, emotionally, Physically, you need to get right with God. Go and reconcile to him. And it's not because God's like, hey, I'm done with you. You better come and apologize to me. No, he's like, I'm waiting for you to come back to me. You walked away. See, we get this whole concept of I got to build my strong tower, my big thing about me. And we go and we step away from God to build it. We start building this big wall of our own security and we step away from God. So if you want to reconcile with him, you've got to go and walk back. What does that look like? The second thing is empty yourself of all the garbage and be filled with his love and peace. In other words, start back at the first beatitude. We learned it the first week. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Empty yourself of all the lies, all the garbage, all the insecurities. Just tell him about everything. That has been so freeing for me. I know Pastor Greg's been sharing about it. We've had different people come up and share testimonies. But man, the most freeing thing for me and to see everyone else in a way that is loving and want to just share that peace that I have is to tell the truth with God, to just unload all the garbage that's going on in my life, in my mind and in my heart, all the insecurities. All the comparison model. He can hear it. That's fine. God's not going to be affected by it. It's not like when I... now, see, sometimes we try to unload on other people, right? We try to vent and tell our friends all the frustrations of someone else, all the opinions we have about someone. And then what do? We start to create that same mindset in them because they're our friend. Hopefully they're a better friend than this, but some of our friends, they want to build us up and they're like, yeah, that guy's so dumb. I can't believe, oh man, did you see when he did that? But see, God doesn't do that. God's the one that you can go to completely honest and just tell him everything you have, everything you feel. And he's not swayed by it. And he's also not condemning with it. He doesn't go, oh, what a horrible person you are. No, he's like, let's get that garbage off of you. What's going on? Let's clean that up because I love you and I want wholeness for you. I want freedom for you. I don't want this comparison that just exhausts you. Aren't you tired? Let's get some rest. Let's get cleaned up. So empty yourself and know who you are. If you don't know the truth about who you really are, ask Jesus and believe it. Ask him. We've been learning a lot about this, that when you tell the truth about all the lies that you believe, then Jesus can fill you with the truth of who you are. So take time in that process as you're working on building peace in your life to not only tell the truth about all the garbage, but take in the truth. Let him build you up. Number four, the way to making peace is to recognize that people are not your enemy. This is a big one. See, we have this perspective that we have enemies in our life. Maybe we don't call them enemies. Maybe we just go, that's the guy I don't like. That's the guy I'm competing with at work. That's the person that stole my best friend. That's the person that got the job over me. Whatever your thing is, they're not your enemy. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, a while back, I was praying this prayer. I was just praying through Psalm 23. I've been doing that almost every day now for a while, just praying it through. And as I get to different parts, I ask God, what does this mean? What does this mean in my life? And I got to that point of praying that part. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I'm like, yeah, God, you're taking care of me. You're putting a table there and you know, because you really care about me. And he's like, you got the wrong picture there. I do care about you, but not just you. See, it doesn't say you prepare my table before me. It says you prepare a table. We are so focused on it being about us. He's preparing a table in the presence of our enemies to bring us together, to sit down and realize we're not enemies. There is no person in this world that is your enemy. They are a child of God. Are there people that are confused, hurt, broken, angry? Yeah. It doesn't change who they are. They're a child of God. They're your sibling in Christ. They just don't know it yet. Jesus was so focused on this, trying to teach us to change that mindset. We look at people with this thought process that they are against us. And so we walk into the room already shutting down the peace and trying to protect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45, just a little later than the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you," so everything you just heard, hold on. That's not the thing. This is the thing. "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." Jesus makes it pretty clear. Love your enemies. In other words, love those people. Love these people. Love. And as you do that, here's the really cool thing is, We start out maybe looking at people as our enemies, but the more that we love and we choose to listen to that love from God and then let it out into our lives through our actions, our words, day to day, it changes the way we see them. We realize we're not enemies. The last thing to the way of making peace is to remember it's not about you. Remember it's not about you. Blessed are the meek. Be humble. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See, peacemaking doesn't work when you're focused on what you need or what you want. We need to remember it's not about us. It's not about me. When I walk into a situation, it is not about me. Whether the conflict is between me and another person or the conflict is about other people, it's not about me. And if I walk in there thinking it's about me, I'm already done. You want to make peace? You want to bring peace into the room? You need to realize it is not about you. Put others' needs before your own and trust that God has got your needs taken care of. Jamie Winship, the guy who's been talking with us a lot about this transformation process in our minds and realizing the truth of who we are in Christ. I love this quote that he says. He says, "When living in your true identity, you cannot be offended." You cannot be offended when you live in your true identity. When you know that you are taken care of by God because he's your Father who loves you, you can walk in and not worry about how you're going to get hurt by people. You can walk in and not care whether they're going to receive you or reject you. See, when you allow yourself to be offended, it's like you're building fences. You're building a fence, huh? While fences protect, you see what I did there? Yeah. While fences protect, fences also divide. See, while we try to protect ourselves in our own little world, we're also dividing ourselves from people. Fences keep out. They keep things out that you don't want in, but fences also isolate you. See, we're not meant to build fences. We're meant to build bridges. Bridges unite. Bridges provide access. Bridges connect people. Jesus, when he came to the earth, he became the bridge to the Father. Don't build a fence. Kick them down and build a bridge. Psalm 34, verse 12 through 14 says this. It says, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it. It's one thing to look and try to see where peace is. It's another thing to pursue it. And we think so often that when we pursue something, we have to go run after it. But see, Jesus is already there. He is our peace. He's not hiding like crazy for you to look for him. He's just waiting for you to be real with him. Jesus just wants us to be real. So today, I want to challenge every one of us to find and be filled with perfect peace. The peace that will overflow into the lives of everyone we're around. Maybe you're struggling with this today. Maybe you're struggling with this comparison mindset, this competitive mindset, this control mindset where you need to make sure that people don't do things to you first, so you do it to them. You need to make sure that you're noticed, that you're the best. Maybe you have conflict in your life with someone. Instead of looking at them and saying, gosh, you have such a problem, can we turn toward the mirror and ask God, what conflict is going on in my life? What internal conflict? Am I afraid? Am I fearful? Do I fear things in my life? Am I angry with you, God? Do I have lust in my heart? Do I have greed? Am I worried about my future or maybe my present? Whatever it is that's happening external, that's a red flag. It's a signal. It's the indicator. There's something going on internally. So my challenge in my heart for every one of us is that we would stop and just ask Jesus, am I at peace? Do I have your peace in me? Some thoughts as we linger today. If you're new with us, it's a practice we've been doing for a while now where we don't want to just talk about concepts. We don't want to just learn about practices to put in place. We want to put it into practice. We want to start. And the first place you start, like I said, is to reconcile with God, to take it to Him, and to go and empty yourself. So we take this time to linger, to ask God to reveal truth into our lives, to give us that temperature check of where we're really at. So here's some thoughts, just to spend some time in prayer, to talk with God. First one is, do I have peace in my mind, in my heart, in my daily life? Big question. That's a big one. And as you ask that, pause and listen. Let Him talk to you. And if He reveals that there's somewhere that there isn't peace, if not, what's keeping me from having peace? Remember, these are not questions for you to just ask yourself, but for you to ask God. Let the Spirit speak to you, right? The second question is, do I strive to make peace with others in every situation, with everyone? See, we might think that the goal is to have peace with most people most of the time, but our standard isn't how other people do things. Our standard is how Jesus did it. Jesus had perfect peace in all situations. He showed peace to every person that He encountered. So do I strive to make peace with others in every situation? And with everyone? And if not, what's stopping me? What is stopping me? What lies am I believing? What fears do I have that involve that person or myself? And is there anyone I need to make peace with in my life today? Do I bring peace? I want to pray for you, and then we'll just go right into our time of lingering. You're a guest with us and you got to go, or a regular, you got to go. I understand, and there's no judgment. But let's spend some time. We're ending early. This is good. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, do I have perfect peace in my life? Or am I running with unrest, with conflict internally? Do I have perfect peace in my heart? Am I at peace with you, or am I wrestling and dividing myself from you? Do I have peace in my mind? Jesus, I pray that you would reveal to us anything, anything that keeps us from having perfect peace in you. Any lies that we might be believing, any fear that might be driving us to act and do certain things. God, if we're worried about our future, if we're worried about tomorrow, God, we want peace in you. We don't want peace because our circumstances get better. We want peace because we have you. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room and everyone watching online. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would strive to be peacemakers. And as we find that perfect peace and we live out that peace with others, God, that people around us would notice and acknowledge that we are children of you, and that they give you praise. Lord, I pray for conflicts that are going on in people's lives, that you would bring peace, that you would restore, that you would reconcile, that you give direction. Help us to be peacemakers. In Jesus' name.
We'll have the elders to the left and right. If you'd just like to pray with someone, I really want to encourage you right now. Allow yourself to ask questions of God. And open your heart and your mind. Allow him to speak into you and write it down. As we're encouraged to do so today. Thank you.
slaved fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. And I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave or fear. I am a child of God. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that this day that we'd make the right choice, God, to bring you into our lives, that we would stop leading and allow you the rightful place as leader, that would receive from you your peace, that we would see you, and we would be children of the living God, and we go forth, God, this world would know that we are your children. May you be glorified in Jesus' mighty name.